You know, there is a lot going on in this world. There's so much it's impossible to keep up with. We could probably talk about and have an open discussion for hours, who's going to do what, when, where. The way this nation's headed, it is such a shame. But we need to be prepared for that as God's people, and we will be. But no matter what you turn on or watch, invariably, daily, hourly almost, something catastrophic is happening. If you would turn back to, go ahead and turn back to Revelation 12, we'll get to that in a second. And as you know, we're entering, a little bit was said about that already, we're entering into the time of the fall holy days when all these problems will begin to be solved. And it is the only hope for mankind is God's plan of salvation. There is no other plan. I do watch the news, maybe too much sometimes, and you watch these guys, and somebody has this idea, and says, well, no, if we do this, this will happen. Well, no, you know, we really need to have a coalition over here. And we in this room, as well as God's people, wherever they are around the world, know the answer to that, and they know what causes the problems of this world, and we're going to read about that just quickly. It's really not the main thrust of the message, but we'll just set a little bit of groundwork here in Revelation 12, verse 9. We know who the adversary is. So it says, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That is more than likely yet future, because as we read on, it says in verse 10, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them, that's us brethren, before our God day and night has been cast down. In verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, or Christ's sacrifice, the truth, and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Verse 12, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. And as we know, that's about 3.5 years. And you see how bad the world is today. Can you imagine, once he knows he's here and not leaving, what it's going to be like? Well, we're not to fear. Again, the answer is what we're getting ready to celebrate in the near future. Trumpets, atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, and the great white throne judgment. But what I'd like to talk to you about today is us. We're going to have to go through this period of time as God's people. And one of the important things we need to bear in mind, and one of the important things we need to be doing and continue to do, is to worship God in spirit and in truth. If you'll turn back to John chapter 4, you know, that's where Christ was talking with the Samaritan lady at the well, and he asked her to give him water, and she marveled that he was talking to a Samaritan, because the Jews wouldn't have anything to do with them. And if you'll look in verse 22 in John chapter 4, verse 22, Christ said to her, you worship what you do not know. In other words, she didn't understand what she was talking about. She'd said back up there, you know, she'd had to actually call Jacob their father. And of course, Jacob was not their father. They were brought into the land after the northern 10 tribes of Israel had been captured. Anyway, in verse 22, it says, Christ said, you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. Verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And as we all know, we are the spiritual temple of God. Well, there's some people, as you know, they quote-unquote understand this truth, but there's no spirit with it. The Israelites understood the truth. The Pharisees, quote-unquote, had the truth, right? They had the law of Moses and the holy days and what have you, but they didn't have the spirit to guide them. We'll read about that in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 39. John chapter 8, verse 39, it says, they answered and said to him, talking to Christ, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. In other words, you'd have the faith. You wouldn't know what to do. You know, here I am, and you don't know who I am. Jesus said in verse 42, Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. In verse 47, he says, he who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. They had the truth, so to speak, but they didn't have the Spirit. Conversely, there are people who have, some people have the Spirit, or the zeal, if you will, not Spirit of God, but the Spirit, but no truth. And we'll read about them over in Romans, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. So in other words, they had a zeal, they had a spirit, but they didn't understand it. They didn't understand the truth. You know, there's a lot of people in this world with a lot of zeal. My dad was like that when he was alive. He would witness to anybody about Jesus, regardless of where he was. It was embarrassing sometimes, but had a lot of zeal. But he just didn't understand. Well, brethren, how do we know if we're worshiping God in spirit and in truth? Because that's what God wants. He wants people to worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, hopefully as we go through this today, we can bring out some of those points and you'll know and understand that, yes, as God's people, we have the truth. Okay, but we also have God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, which allows us to understand the Bible, which allows us to worship God in truth and in spirit, or in spirit and in truth. You've got to have both in order for it to work. So let's just take a look at this in the time we have today. And if you'll turn to Galatians, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, in Galatians chapter 5, where it lists the fruits of God's Spirit. In verse 22, it says, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you will, brethren, it's feeding on the tree of life. That's what the fruits of the Spirit are. They produce what the tree of life would have produced if Adam and Eve had partaken of it. And that's what we partake of. We partake of the Spirit of God, the tree of life. And with God's help, we can never do this on our own. Israel can never do it on their own. We have nothing to brag about, as we all know. We're just human beings on this journey to eternal life. And we're being led there by the kindness of God and Jesus Christ. And we'll look a little bit at that in just a second. It says in the end of verse 23 says, Against such there is no law. There is no law against these things. Verse 24, And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. In other words, the old man has been buried. The old lady, well, I should say the old lady. You know what I mean. I don't want to get in any trouble here. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. And why should we? You know, we're just here to help. And that's the way God's church should be. And in verse Galatians 6, verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." So sometimes we all have problems. We're not here to condemn. We're here to help. We're here to guide people as best we can with God's Holy Spirit, and to worship God in spirit and in truth, because the two, you've got to have the two in order to obtain eternal life. You know, the internet is valuable for a few things, and there was a thing that came out the other day, and it had a list of eight things comparing God and how God is with Satan. Well, we don't have time for eight. I do have seven here, and we'll see if we can get through it in the time that remains. And I've just numbered these 1 through 7, and then we'll take and put some scriptures to them. And then you can evaluate for yourself. Are you in the spirit? I mean, is this the way you live? You have the truth, right? Well, it takes more than that, and it's not easy. Trust me, I'm a long way from perfect when it comes to this. But I know it works because it's God's word, and God cannot lie, as it says in Titus 1:2, I think. But anyway, number one, God reassures you. God reassures you. Satan tries to frighten you, doesn't he? So let's just look at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. And it says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by what? By the Spirit. And belief in what? And belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel," or the message, you know, that Paul gave, "for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 15, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle," in other words, what was written to them. Verse 16, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work." We know the truth, brethren, by what's in the Bible, because that's what is passed down to us. And any of you been in the church for any amount of time, sometimes somebody will get their own ideas as to what it might be. All you've got to do is come back to the Bible and say, "Show me that. Where does it say that?" Because that's what we're established on. We're established on the truth of God and through God's Holy Spirit, who will lead you into all truth. Not going to lead you into error. Will not do. Cannot do that. Hebrews. Turn over to Hebrews. Let's look at another scripture here. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. Remember, God reassures you. It's the whole point of this. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. "Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never..." And it's really, it's like, "I will never, never, never." That's how the word is. It should be emphasized there. "Leave you nor forsake you." Verse 6, so we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" What can man do to us? He can kill us. Now, none of us want to die, but that's about the extent of it, right? That's about as bad as it's going to get. But we have God who can give us eternal life based upon spirit and truth. And that's the way he wants to be worshipped, and that's what we're doing today. We have truth and we have spirit, and that's where we're here worshiping God. It's amazing, isn't it? You think the billions of people in this world, and how many of God's people are there? Only God knows. Point number two, God leads you to salvation. You didn't lead yourself to salvation. God leads you to salvation. Let's turn back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. And I can see here that I need to speed up. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll just skip some verses here. Let's drop down to, pick it up in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, and that's the way we were before we were called and baptized and received God's Spirit, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are being saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. And that's what it will be, right? At trumpets, when we're resurrected, we're going to be, God will be able to show his exceeding great love for us when he changes us, sinful human beings that we are. Because it says here, that's, you know, he made us alive from our trespasses. And we're going to be spirit beings, and it's going to be to the glory and honor of God. Because we stayed with the truth, and we did not neglect God's Holy Spirit. And we worship God in spirit. Verse 8, for by grace, it says here, you have been saved through faith, but obviously we are being saved. There's no spirit beings here yet, at least physically, that have been changed. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So all the credit goes to God. Like it says, God leads us to salvation. If you'll turn back all the way back to Isaiah, we'll look at one verse in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. Yeah, Isaiah 64, verse 8, it says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are potter. And all we are the work of your hand. That's what we are. God forms us, puts us in the church, and we serve however we can serve. There's no great service over here and no minor service over here. We just all serve. We just do the best we can with what God has given us. So there should be no envying or what have you. Every member is appreciated. God loves every one of us. And he gets great joy when we worship him in spirit and in truth. We do God, if you will, show honor to God by doing that. Number three, God enlightens you. God enlightens you. What does Satan do? Well, we've already read what he does. He condemns us 24/7, if he, I guess, or as long as God will allow him to talk. And coming soon, he'll be out of heaven. He's going to be on this earth, and as we know, the tribulations will be here. So we need to be prepared for that way ahead of time. That was point number three, right? Okay. God enlightens you. Satan tries to rush and confuse you. Is that what we just did? Or getting ready to do? Yeah. Sorry. In Philippians, turn back to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So that's the kind of mind we're to have, right? Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of men. Can you imagine? He was at the right hand of God, had been there for I don't guess they even calculate years. I don't know how they calculate time, but forever. And then all of a sudden, he's like one of us, gave all that up to come here, and he didn't consider it robbery. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. So, as you know, that's how we can be saved, through the sacrifice of Christ, because our sins are blotted out. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on the earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And we do that now, don't we? We already do that. We, those who can get down to pray, some can't. Regardless, you still pray to God with a humble heart and acknowledge him. We're doing that now, brethren. Someday, every human being who has ever lived is going to do the same thing. Someone may have to be forced to do it, unfortunately. But every human being is going to. But our opportunity is now. Because we live in this life. God was gracious enough to call us. We have the truth and we have his spirit. And that's how we're to worship him. In spirit and in truth. Let's look at one other scripture in this part. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 says, for what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? So, you know, how you think and gives you intellect. But even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. That's how we know the truth. That's how we can understand the truth. That's how we can know that we can go before God and be forgiven. That's how we know how to love and help people when they have issues and problems. We're not here to beat anybody up. That isn't why God called us. If God was in the beating up business, we give him a lot of reasons why. I give him a lot of reasons why. I shouldn't say we. I throw you in, lump you in with me. Number 4. Did I miss one? God forgives you. Did I do that one?
No.
I did not. Oh, boy, I tell you. Good. God forgives you. I think I'll see what I did here. But God does. God forgives us. If you'll turn to Psalms 103, we haven't read that one, right?
No.
Okay. My wife will tell you I shouldn't be let out of the house by myself. Sometimes it's frightening, actually. Psalms 103. We spent most of the week with her mother this past week. Maybe that's my problem. Some of it rubbed off on me. No, I shouldn't say it. She's a sweetheart. But, you know, as I said, well, we'll all be like that someday if we live to be 92 years old. You know? But anyway. In Psalms 103, verse 10. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. And it should be out there, thankfully. Nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, and that's the way God looks at us, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are just mere dust. In my office at home, I have a picture of a sheep looking through a barbed wire fence. I love that picture. And what I do when I look at that, it reminds me of how Christ looks at me and looks at all of us. We're mere sheep, and he's the shepherd. And that's the kind of help we need. We have to be led by him, by the mercy that he has. As you know, in verse 15 it says, For as for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. That's about how short our life is, isn't it? And its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. Whether we're alive or dead, brethren, when Christ returns, he's going to know who we are, and he's going to know where we are. We don't have to worry about it. Verse 18, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments and do them every now and then. No, those who live by his commandments, right? Those who do them. And when we fall short, and we all do, we don't use it as a get-out-of-jail card. I don't mean to imply that. But we know that we can go to God, and he'll forgive us. Because we worship him in spirit and in truth. And he knows our frame. And he wants us to be part of his family. Let's look at another one in Psalms, another verse in Psalms. Let's look at Psalms 130. Psalms 130, verse 3 and 4. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be. And I marked out the word fear. But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be loved. How much more are you going to love somebody that forgives you? You're going to love them a lot, right? Because you can be forgiven. Let's look at number five. God calms you. That's the way of God. If Satan tries to stress us, if you're in a situation where somebody is really stressing you out, you really need to kind of stop and take a deep breath and say, no, wait a minute. Where is this coming from? Is that God's way or is that Satan's way? God, the scriptures are designed to calm us and to help us. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 12. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. When it says there that he looked forward to joy, that what was set before him when he was crucified, if you look up that word, it's cheerfulness, calm the light. He didn't turn back. God is there to calm us. If you think about what Christ went through for us and what his death pictures and now what his life, because of his life, we have life, right? He's our high priest to intercede for us at the throne of God. It should have a calming effect on us. Do we get upset? Absolutely. I mean, I'm not saying we go la-la, you know, tiptoe through the tulips and everything is a bed of roses and what have you, but it shouldn't get us to the point where we want to give up, ever. If you ever get to that point, you need to call somebody that you can talk to and somebody who loves you and cares, because that's not God's purpose. God did not call us for failure. That's not God's way. God's way is, oh, it's just not going to fail. Let's go to look at one other scripture. Turn back to Isaiah, if you will. Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51, verse 7. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, talking to God's church. We know righteousness, correct? Because of God opening our minds to understand it. You people in whose heart is my law. And that's where God is writing his law, is on our hearts. In spirit and in truth, brethren, do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their revilings. For the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. So we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. We just need to be calm. Two more points. God encourages you. And conversely, Satan does what? Tries to discourage. There's always something going to be going on in this world, a life or job or what have you. I often tell my wife, our marriage has been 47 years of a gravel road. One of these days we'll hit the blacktop hole and it'll smooth out. But anyway, God encourages you. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And just think about this as we read these scriptures. Verse 25, it says, God says, To whom then will you liken me? Who are you going to liken? Who are you going to compare to God? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. He's talking about the heavens. Who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. Why do people say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the eternal, and my just claim is passed over by the eternal? Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, never faints, nor is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. So God is there. The Hubble telescope, with the amount of galaxies that it's been able to spot, it's estimated that there are 100 billion, at least 100 billion galaxies. Well, the Germans apparently have some supercomputer that they did a simulation with, and that computer estimates that there may be as many as 500 billion galaxies in the universe. Can you imagine? 500 billion galaxies. If you take and then extrapolate, or I haven't had time to work the formula out, but I'm sure I'll get around to it. Based on 200 billion galaxies, okay? You know how many planets they estimate there are? I don't even know how to pronounce the number, and I won't, because it's 10 to the 24th power. That's how many planets there are. And God can call every one of them by name. You think he doesn't know where we are, who we are, and when the time comes, as the holy days approach, that he's not going to allow us in his kingdom? Be there when Satan's put away? Be there to help? Feast of Tabernacles, to teach people how to live his way of life, how to worship in spirit and truth, and then to be there, the great white throne judgment for those who have never had a chance. Just think about what we've been called to and the greatness of God that we have an opportunity to be a part of. It boggles the mind. Young people, I hope y'all can see the vision. An opportunity of a lifetime to be part of God's family. Seventh point. God comforts you. And you say, so well, what about calming and calm? Well, there's a difference. God comforts you. Satan tries to worry you. It's just the way this world is. One of these days, that won't be that way anymore. And we're looking forward to that time. Well, anyway, the final point is God comforts you. That's the way God is. And so does our high priest who intercedes for us. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. So not only does God comfort us and help us, but he also expects us to be able to comfort and help other people. And if you've been in the church for any length of time, you know those opportunities come along. And to the best of your ability, and through God's Holy Spirit, because we take no credit, I would never want to fool with anybody's problems 35, 40 years ago. Too bad, you know, not anymore. And we can't take on the weight of the world. I don't mean that. There's some very serious problems that people need counseling for, you know, professional help. But where we can help and lend an ear and a kind word and tell people of the trials and the problems that we've all been through, it's a help. It's a help to know God has seen us through and that he'll see them through. Let's turn over to Psalms 118, verse 6. Psalms 118, we'll just read a couple of psalms here and then we'll wind it up. Psalms 118, verse 6. Well, let me get the... Psalms 118, verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. Well, we're not going to worry about that. But really what we want is to know that God is on our side and we have no fear. There's nothing to fear with God. God didn't call us to have fear. He called us to have strength and to stand firm for his way of life. And the chances are with everything that's going to be happening in this world, we may be tested beyond anything we've ever seen. And who knows, you know, when it really gets bad. You can, you know, when kids get put out of classroom for somebody sneezing, and maybe I saw that on the news, and the girl says, bless you, and the teacher expels her from class because they're not going to have any that kind of godly talk in her classroom. I mean, how far have we sunk as a nation? Perhaps y'all didn't see that. It was on Fox here the other day. Yeah, it really happened, and among other things. So who knows? We just need to be prepared and know that God is with us. Psalms 55, verse 22. Cast your burden on the Eternal, and he shall sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Never. Well, brethren, as this world and our nation crumbles, you know, it crumbles right before our very eyes. It's a tragic thing to watch. I hope these 7 points will help reassure us that we're God's people, we've been called by God, and that we truly worship him in spirit and in truth.